Hi, thanks, Nick. Hello and good morning to everyone. So, as Nick mentioned, the first topic we're going to discuss at this joint meeting is about the board's discussion paper, business combinations, disclosure, goodwill, and impairment. So, what I'm going to do is give a brief overview of the discussion paper itself before moving on to talk about the topics that we're asking you about today. And then you're going to split it into breakout groups to discuss these topics, and then we'll regroup with the debrief with the wider meeting. So background then, slide four of the deck provides an overview of the board's project on goodwill and impairment. And the board started this project after a review of IFRS 3 business combinations, which was issued in 2004. The objective of the project is to improve the information that companies provide to investors at a reasonable cost about the businesses that companies buy, helping investors to hold management to account for acquisition decisions. The board published the discussion paper in March, and the deadline for submitting comment letters was originally mid-September, but the board extended this to the 31st December 2020 in order to support our stakeholders during the COVID-19 pandemic. Slide five then summarizes the feedback that the board has heard about the PIR on various aspects of the accounting for business combinations. So some of these concerns relate to the impairment test for goodwill, for example, that it's costly and complex and that it doesn't recognize impairment losses on a timely basis. Investors have also said that they would like to see more information provided in financial statements about the subsequent performance of acquisitions. The board also received feedback that it should reintroduce amortization of goodwill and that it's difficult to recognize some intangible assets separately from goodwill in a business combination. Slide six goes on to summarize the board's views that are presented in the discussion paper in response to the feedback, and these responses cover three main areas. So the first of these relates to disclosures. The board is proposing to require companies to disclose information about how business combinations perform after the acquisition. It's also proposing to make some other improvements to the current about M&A. The second area relates to improving the accounting for goodwill. So the board explored whether it could make the impairment test more effective, but concluded that it's not feasible to improve the test significantly at a reasonable cost. The board then considered whether to propose reintroducing amortization, and the board's initial view is that it should not do so because there's no compelling evidence that doing so would significantly improve financial reporting. Finally, the board explored some possible simplifications that would reduce the cost of performing the impairment test by removing the requirement to perform the test annually and amending how value in use is estimated. The third and final area relates to some other topics, and the board thinks it should require companies to present total equity, excluding goodwill, on the balance sheet. And the board also thinks it should retain the current approach of requiring companies to recognize identifiable intangible assets separately upon acquisition rather than subsuming those into goodwill. So moving on to today's discussion then, we've identified three topics that we'd like to discuss with you, and this is based on our initial outreach activities so far. Two of these topics were discussed by the board during the development of the discussion paper, whereas the third one was not. So the three topics we want to talk about are, firstly, the location of information about subsequent performance of acquisitions. Secondly, the disclosures about synergies, and thirdly, the reversals of goodwill impairments. On the first of these topics, then the board's preliminary view is that it should require companies to provide in the year of acquisition information about management's strategic rationale for the acquisition, more detailed objectives, and the metrics and targets that management will measure the success of the acquisition against. In future periods, a company will be required to disclose its progress in meeting those targets using the metrics set out in the year of acquisition. This information is provided on a management approach, and otherwise, the board would require companies to disclose information that management are using to monitor the success of the acquisition. Some stakeholders have told us that this information should be provided in a company's management commentary rather than in financial statements. So slide 10 provides some of the reasons stakeholders say the information should be in management commentary. One of the key reasons is that stakeholders say the information about management's targets at the time of acquisition might be considered forward-looking information in their jurisdiction. And those stakeholders say that there are so-called safe harbor regulations that allow them to disclose such information in management commentary without fear of legal complications. Those regulations do not cover forward-looking information disclosed in financial statements. However, management commentary isn't available to investors in all jurisdictions on the same terms as financial statements. In addition, some companies do not disclose information about the subsequent performance of acquisitions in management commentary. Therefore, in reaching its preliminary view, the reason the board put most weight on when deciding the information should be in financial statements is to ensure that the information is made available to all investors. The board has no tool that will require companies to disclose this information in management commentary. And the board's practice statement of management commentary does not have the same status as IFRS standards, and companies are not required to prepare management commentary following it in most jurisdictions. So in the breakout session, we hope to get your views as to the best location for disclosures about the subsequent performance of acquisitions. And this will involve exploring whether the information about subsequent performance of acquisitions is currently available to investors, and whether the board could encourage companies to provide this information if it weren't actually a requirement, and what other factors the board should consider when determining whether to provide, to make providing this information a requirement. So the second topic talks about another of the board's preliminary views, and that preliminary view is that it should require companies to provide quantitative information about the amount of any material synergies that management expect to achieve as a result of the acquisition. And the board doesn't define synergies. This requirement would apply to any type of synergies, for example, cost synergies or revenue synergies or any other type. The preliminary view is an improvement to the existing disclosures in IFRS 3, which require a company to describe the key components of goodwill. In the outreach performed by the board so far, it's aware that many companies identify potential synergies as a key component of goodwill, but those companies often don't provide detailed information as to what those synergies are. The idea of the preliminary view is to provide information to investors to help them understand what the company purchased in the business combination. This potential requirement is for companies to provide information about expected synergies at the time of acquisition. Companies not required to provide information about the achievement of those synergies in subsequent periods. The exception to this is where management of the company monitors success of the acquisition by monitoring the achievement or the attainment of synergies, in which case the company would be required to disclose that information following the disclosure we talked about in the first topic. So the objective of the breakout session here is to get your views as to the usefulness of quantitative information synergies expected in a business combination. So from a CMAC member perspective, we'd like to hear if you get this information about synergies already, and if so, where. And from a GPF member perspective, we'd like to hear whether you estimate the value of any synergies when you're working out how much you're willing to pay for a target, and if not, how you know you've actually paid the right price. The final topic to discuss in the breakout session is whether the board should permit companies to recognize reversals of past impairments of goodwill. And this is not a topic that's discussed by the board in the discussion paper, but some stakeholders have suggested that the board permit this as a possible way to counteract management over-optimism in the impairment test of goodwill. So IFRS standards currently don't permit a company to reverse previously recognized impairments of goodwill, and the board said this is because it's not possible to tell whether the increase in the recoverable amount of a CGU to which goodwill is attached is the result of the recovery of previously recognized goodwill or an increase in internally generated goodwill. Internally generated goodwill cannot be recognized as an asset. So some stakeholders have suggested that in periods of high uncertainty, management may tend to use cash flow forecasts that are optimistic in order to avoid recognizing an impairment of goodwill, which might turn out to have been unnecessary when the uncertainty is resolved. In the breakout session, we hope to get a better understanding from GPF members as to how in recent times you've performed impairment tests and how you've coped with the uncertainty in cash flow forecasts. We're also looking to get GPF member views as to whether they think companies would be more or less likely to recognise goodwill impairments if it was possible to reverse those impairment losses in a future period. For CMAC members, we're interested to know what information you would obtain from a reversal of goodwill impairment. So I'll stop at that point to see if anyone has any questions about what I've spoken about or what you're expected to discuss in the breakout session.
So if anyone has any questions, clarifying questions for Craig, Would you just let me know in the chat box that you'd like to speak? I think from that response then, that then seems very clear. So I think the next stage then is to move to the breakout meetings, and everyone should have had an email from Jen yesterday telling you which breakout group you're in with details of how to log on to those separate breakout rooms. So you have to log out of what you're currently in and then into a separate breakout room, albeit in the same system, but just through with a different link and a different PIN number. So we're a little ahead of schedule. I would suggest we try and keep that gain in time. And if we could aim for everyone then to be back in the main room, in this room, let's say back at 11:20, if we could do that. Craig, anything else to add, or is that the next step to break up?
Do you mean 12:20? Because 11:20 is in 5 minutes.
Sorry, I do mean 12:20. Thank you for clarification. Yeah, 12:20, absolutely. Okay, so if everyone would make their way now to their respective breakout rooms, and we will reconvene to discuss the questions that Craig has set out. Okay, thank you.